Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Potzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann. Buchmann. Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Johnny Walsh. We come to you on Thursday instead of Tuesday this time. That's to allow us to talk a little bit about the DFB Pokal when we look ahead to Zweite Bundesliga match day 12. It's been a pretty tough week for all of us, so please forgive us. Football-wise, it's not been easy. But I would like to welcome back Matthew Karagic. Matthew, how are you doing this morning?
Very well, Johnny. Thank you very much.
Happy days. I'm glad you have finished the worst of your uni course and you can now enjoy life to its fullest with plenty of student debt. I think we can all relate to that. And Eva, you're off university today, which is absolutely great. It's great to have you back on as well. I think you're probably the most popular guest that we've had on, so welcome.
Welcome and good morning.
Yes, I think we're all feeling the effects of last night's DFB Pokal action, to say the least. But we will save that for later and we will talk about how we're looking going into match day 12, given that the promotion race is hotting up. Of course, Köln and HSV are top of the table, as we expected, maybe not in the fashion that we expected, however, and there are quite a few teams within touching distance. If you go down to 10th, there is only 5 points separating Köln in 1st and Kiel in that 10th position, so all bets are off as to where everyone finishes come the end of the season. It's promising to be quite an interesting promotion race, and we asked you how you think things are going to go, and on Twitter you responded very well. Over 100 people came back to us on this one, and what we wanted to know is, when looking back at Zweite Bundesliga this weekend, three teams are tied on 19 points behind HSV and Köln. Which side of those three do you think has the best chance of dislodging one of the top two? So that is Union, St. Pauli and Greuther Fürth. We also offered you the option of someone else, to which no one replied with a someone else, but 18% of you voted for that one, so thank you very much. 10% of you went for St. Pauli, 7% went for Fürth, and an overwhelming 65% of you went for Union Berlin. Matthew, it's no real surprise, is it?
No, I mean, they are almost the complete package. You know, they're sound defensively. They've got a very solid midfield. They've worked it out. The only issue they've got is scoring frequently. They've had real issues in the past few weeks finding the back of the net, which we'll talk about during the podcast. But, yeah, they're one consistent goal scorer away from being a real threat to the likes of Köln and Hamburg.
Yeah, I think that is the issue, and of course they were unlucky in the DFB Pokal last night. As we look back on it now, a 3-2 loss to Borussia Dortmund in injury time, a Marco Reus penalty 2 minutes from time proved to be the difference there, and it was a case of a welcome return. Of course, he has been back before, but for Sebastian Polta. And Eva, I think it's fair to say that after that brace against Dortmund, we were probably expecting to see a little bit more of him from the start now.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a great opportunity for him to play against Dortmund and show what he's capable of. And I really think that he can kick it off now and have more chances.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Urs Fischer does indeed opt for Sebastian Polter over Sebastian Andersson. And to be fair, I think Andersson has done quite well, considering how Union have set up at times. They've prioritised defence over attack. Given just how the league has been this year, I think that's probably been a good decision. And the fact that Rafał Gigowicz has a goal sort of sums up how, not uninspirational, but how tough it's been for them to try and find the back of the net, especially given how the teams around them have been doing in that regard, all but HSV, really, of the teams in the top half have scored less goals than them. But, Matthew, could you make a case for St. Pauli being one of those sides that can break into that that top two? And, you know, we're looking at it now with maybe a bit of hope from a St. Pauli perspective. But if they were to overtake HSV, if we leave Köln out of the equation for now, it would be quite some feat.
It would be, you know, considering we probably didn't expect them to be in that top six. I think, you know, defensively they've improved quite a lot over the journey of the season. They've made it harder for teams to penetrate them going forward, but they kind of suffer a similar fate to Union, where they've chopped and changed their front men, whether it's been Dimitri Diamantakos or it's been Hengverman or it's been Sami Alagui. There hasn't been one striker that's been consistently informed. They've been very patchy, and if one of them can just get on a run of, you know, scoring in the next five or six games, then you can make a case for them to be a...
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, and I think when it comes down to it, goals are the most important thing in this league. As much as Union have maybe tried to prioritise defence, and I think we're maybe seeing that with Greuther Fürth this season, a team that we would normally associate with trying to prioritise things at the back, but this season they've come out of their shell. They've gone for that 4-2-3-1 or that 4-4-2 that has started to cause teams quite a bit of trouble. Eva, they played Arminia Bielefeld not so long ago, sorry to bring it back up. It was a fine performance from Armenia in the first half, but in the second, Fürth really turned it around. How impressed have you been with them this season?
I think, as you said, there are in a position on the table that nobody really expected them to be in. But I think they managed that role quite well of being the underdog in most of the games. It's going to be really interesting weeks, depending how they will play against Bochum and all. And we will see how that maybe looks in the winter break, and then you can say more.
Yeah, and given how Bochum decided to give up a 3-1 lead against a team from that similar sort of area of Germany, I have not very high hopes for how things are going to go on Friday night, at least not because the DFL did the kind thing and let us play Monday, Friday, which is great. I mean, what more could you want? But less about me complaining and more about the polls. Of course, we did run the Goal of the Week poll this week again. There were some very good goals in contention, but you all went a little bit easy on me this week, and Robert Tesche was the winner with 47% of the vote. Khalid Narai with 37% after Pierre-Michel Lasoga's wonderful through ball that reminded me more of Iniesta than someone who couldn't hit a barn door for Leeds at stages last season. Jan Hochscheidt's stunning strike against Arminia Bielefeld, had 11% of the vote, and Marlon Ritter came in with 5 in fourth place. I think rather than bring it up later on, we sort of have to talk about it now. But in case you haven't noticed, Pierre-Michel Lasoga now has his own small soap. It's 4 8-minute long episodes. You can get it on Bild Plus, but don't buy Bild. That's a bad idea. So stay clear of it, and if someone, you know, puts it up somewhere else, watch it there, and give them the time of day. But have any of you seen any snippets from it? Matthew, anything from you?
No, I haven't seen it. I'll stay clear from it for now.
Yep, I would fully advise that, especially going by the trailer. Eva, have you seen it?
No, and my life has to go like really, really bad when I'm watching something like this. So thank you, no.
I think we all have a little bit of trash TV in ourselves, but I don't think we're all going to stretch to a Pierre-Michel Lasoga soap. I think he can stick to doing those wonderful things on the pitch that he produced on Friday night for Narai's goal against Magdeburg, but perhaps not when it comes to his own soap with Bilt. And from talking about Lasaga and his quite incredible soap career that is no doubt going to take off, it's time to get stuck into Matchday 11 and look back on what was a very interesting weekend's worth of games. Yes, we will begin with our three Group 1 games from last week, and let's just say goals were at a premium in these three fixtures. We will begin with St. Pauli against Holstein Kiel, and it was the Kielers who came out on top with a 1-0 win thanks to Yanni Lucasella's close-range header, to say the least. It was another really, really awful set of Sunday games, which was sort of typified by this one. Lots of endeavour, lots of good chances, but neither side could take them until Sierra scored. And St. Pauli, Matthew, I think, were very unlucky to come out on the wrong side of this one.
Yeah, they had some absolutely great opportunities to find the back of the net. And, some great goalkeeping by Kenneth Kronholm and some poor finishing to boot. And they leave the game empty-handed. And, you know, credit to Kiel for holding on as they, you know, they're pretty much dominated in the first half. And then, obviously, finding a goal, no matter how scrappy it is or ugly, they all count the same. And, For Jan Lukasera, it's his third goal of the season, and for Kiel, it's a crucial win and some nice bragging rights in the north part of Germany.
I have to say, I'm absolutely gutted that we didn't manage to keep Jani Lukasera going into this season. I thought he was just starting to come good, and now it looks like he is finding his form. Of course, he did manage to score against Freiburg as Kiel progressed in the DFB Pokal on Wednesday night. So credit to him; he seems to have found a scoring touch. And he's in a really good vein of form at the moment as well. I think he scored in his last appearance for Germany under-21s too. So it's all rosy there at the moment. Yes, Matthew, as you say, that's a very good point. Actually, Kiel have claimed the bragging rights completely in northern Germany. That win against HSV and now against St. Pauli means they are 2-2 in that little mini-table, if we want to call it that. Eva, it's been a pretty decent start for both these sides so far. St. Pauli, of course, missed the chance to go top of the table. Do you think that they can bounce back from this one and get back on track this weekend?
Yeah, maybe. So, you see that St. Pauli was a bit more successful, so you can see that in the table. But, yeah, I don't really know how. I didn't see anything of the game, so I'm not sure how that one will work out.
It's for the best that you didn't see anything from that game. I will put it that way. These Sunday games were genuinely awful, but we persevere and we move on to Union against Dynamo Dresden, which ended 0-0. Talk about excitement in the best league in the world, but there was plenty to see in this game as well. Union were comfortably the better side, I would say. Dynamo threatened at times on the break, but really it was Union from start to finish that hit the woodwork a couple of times as well. Marcus Schubert had to make a couple of very important saves as well. And Matthew, I think when it comes down to it, Union will be very disappointed not to have taken the 3 points, even if it did mean that their unbeaten run continues.
Yeah, and for a good chunk of the game, they had the man advantage when Yanis Nikolaou got sent off on 34 minutes. And yeah, it's a big missed opportunity for them to go top of the table. But, it showcased the struggles that they've had recently to find the back of the net. I think they've gone close to 300 minutes league. And yeah, it's a big issue. And you know, based on their performance last night against Dortmund, it may be time to start Sebastian Polter. He had a great game last night, and I think maybe it might be time to bring him in for Sebastian Anderson.
I think we're all sort of looking at that one, and, you know, as soon as he scored that bicycle kick against Kiel, we were going, you know, how much longer is this going to be? When is he going to finally get his chance? And I think that performance, as you say, against Dortmund has sort of cemented that, and I would be very, very surprised if we don't see Sebastian Polter line out for Union against Jan Regensburg this weekend. But I suppose we have to credit Dynamo and give them credit where it's due. It's not easy to go to Union with 10 men for a large majority of that game and come out with, you know, a very impressive 0-0 draw. Eva, how have you seen Dynamo so far this season? I think it's been one where they could maybe have done a little bit better, but I think overall Mike Valpurgis has done a pretty decent job.
I think so too. I think better than expected. A lot of Dresden fans were not really happy about Valpurgis being the new coach, but I think he turned them around a bit. So they could manage to be a bit better, but especially like holding up a 0-0 against Union, seeing them like how Union played yesterday against Dortmund. It's pretty decent, and I think they could manage to go a bit higher up in the table.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to progress in the right way, and I think maybe the goals haven't came at the regularity that Mike Valpurgis would want, but given how they started the season, I think stabilising the defence was the main concern, and he's done that pretty well. From that game, it's time to head to Ingolstadt, and they were very, very lucky late on to salvage a draw against MSV Duisburg. It looked for all the world like Marvin Matip's own goal had gifted the Zebras the 3 points, three crucial points, given that both of these sides were bottom of the table with 5 points coming into this one. And in the 92nd minute, after what seemed to be a clear foul, what do you do? Marvin Matip turns from villain to hero in the final minute and heads home, leaving the travelling Duisburg support understandably devastated, and I think given the amount of snow in southern Germany on Sunday, that wasn't an easy trip to make. So credit to those fans that managed to get there, but it just wasn't meant to be at the end of the day. Matthew, not much to say about this one really. It wasn't a game that will excite the masses. Ingolstadt probably shaded it a little bit, and it would maybe be a bit unfair to say that they didn't warrant a draw, but one of those ones where Duisburg will be very, very disappointed not to have taken the 3 points, and it could come back to bite them.
It could, but in the same vein, it could also hurt Ingolstadt. I mean, it's a result that doesn't really help either team's cause. Sure, neither of them lost, but you know, with the table being the way it is, I mean, a win for either side in that fixture would have really boosted confidence in the short term, at least, in the right direction. So, yeah, I think both teams have a right to be disappointed. I think for Alexander Nuri and Ingolstadt, you know, getting a point after a tough run of games is positive for them. But, you know, the way they went about it, it wasn't ideal. And, yeah, but both teams have a lot of work to do, but I think if you were to compare the sides in who was probably heading in the right direction, you'd probably, on the balance of it, look at
I think that's hard. Yeah, definitely. I think that's very hard to disagree with, and I think with Lieberknecht in charge, Duisburg have made a pretty decent appointment. I think, you know, given the clubs that were maybe rumoured to be interested in Lieberknecht, Duisburg have done well to get him, and he's, you know, proven himself so far. A couple of very decent results, notably that win against Köln and a certain victory in the DFB Pokal, but we'll glance over that one. Eva, it's been a tough start for Alexander Nuri. I don't know, is he on borrowed time already? He's still without a win in, you know, 5 or 6 games in charge of Ingolstadt. How much longer can it go on?
I don't really know if it would be a good idea to already like say that he should go, because we had a lot of breaks due to the Nations League, and they can't really, although they had a lot of time to train, they're not really able to find their way to play, I think. So it wouldn't be fair to already say that he can't win with Ingolstadt. Although I really thought that if they would win a match in the next couple of weeks. It would have been against MSV, but seeing how MSV played us yesterday, I think it's safe to say they could manage to win against Armenia. So we have to give him a couple of more weeks. Then you could really say how it's going. I think it wouldn't be very smart to already search for a new coach.
It's going to be interesting to see how much patience the Ingolstadt board have, whether or not they do give Nouri much more time, although to be fair, there doesn't seem to be too much pressure on him at the moment. I think the fans do understand that he needs a bit of time to get it right, but with the squad that they do have, I think we all expect them to do a little bit better. And talking about teams who have pretty decent teams, I think FC Köln fall into that bracket. We're going to be looking ahead to their game, or looking back on their game against Heidenheim, should I say, next. Yes, it was another frustrating day for FC Köln at the Mungosdorfer Stadion on Saturday. They were unable to get past a very stubborn and stoic Heidenheim defence. It finished 1-1. Timo Bielmann opened the scoring for Heidenheim, probably the angriest defender in the league, bar Dennis Erdmann, which is quite a feat given some of the wonderful faces that Timo Bielmann has pulled in recent years. But Köln did manage to hit back. It was a fine header from Sehu Guassi after a really well-worked corner, a set piece straight off the training ground. I think that's something that Marcus Anfang has been working on in recent weeks, which has paid dividends. We've seen it there in action. But Matthew, it's another 2 points dropped, I guess, based on how the game went.
Yeah, it's been a common theme for Köln at home this season that, you know, teams have figured it out of how to, you know, force them on the back foot. They, you know, Heidenheim, you know, scoring early, and then it forces Köln to, you know, play the chips and have to make something happen. And, you know, despite the 31 shots on goal they had in total, they can only come away with one goal. And you know, credit to the Heidenheim defence for absorbing the immense pressure that Köln put on them for the latter 80 minutes after going ahead. And yeah, it's something that I'm sure would be concerning for Marcus Anfang that they struggle at home. But I would say if he was the manager of Hamburg, put it this way, he would have been under a lot more pressure than he is right now.
I think it's a funny one just when you say that, you know, you look at the two teams, they're level in the table, Marcus Anfang safe in his job. Obviously, there's a few Köln fans aren't happy, which, given how the squad is maybe a little bit understandable. But I do think, you know, when you look at that performance against Schalke on Wednesday evening, it shows what Marcus Anfang is trying to build. And I would say, you know, if that's the performances that Köln can put in the Bundesliga week in, week out when they get promoted, things are going to be very, very exciting for them. Just wasn't meant to be, I guess. Harm Osmos didn't really help things, but I think there's quite a few clubs aren't best friends with Harm Osmos, and the less said about that, the better. Eva, another fine performance from Heidenheim, I suppose. They've been pretty decent this season without setting the world alight, but Köln, it just wasn't meant to happen for them. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I think it's really surprising, especially because Heidenheim took the lead and managed to keep it like this for quite a long time. But yeah, Köln is still Köln, so they have the quality to at least go one goal. And maybe it was fine and fair that it was a draw in the end. So Heidenheim showed that they have a great defense in the back. So I think that's something you can build up, and you could see it against Sandhausen. They managed to score again and win. So I think it's going really great this season for them.
Yeah, it was a very tough end of last season, and those relegation worries were there right until the very end. But they've turned it around, as you say. They looked really, really good. Nikola Dovodan, God bless him. Dovodan, I'm never going to forget that now. It is fully ingrained in my head, so thank you to Kasper and Martiria for that one. But a goal and assist for him. He's in great, great form at the moment, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing Bundesliga football come next season. And we can move on from that one now, I suppose. One of the 3-3s this weekend, we did indeed have two. How this finished 3-3, I will never know. And this is tough to talk about. Even I haven't had an easy week of football, so let's begin. Bochum 3, Jan Regensburg 3. Matthew, do you want to get stuck into this one to start us off?
Yeah, I'll save you blushes. It was a positive start from Jan, you know, taking the lead through Adam Jan, who's, you know, continued his very impressive form for Regensburg. Then, obviously, Bochum levelled at halftime with an absolute beautiful goal by Robert Tescher. And, yeah, and then it was all looking rosy for Bochum. Two goals in 9 minutes, in 11 minutes from Lucas Hinterzier, even though the first one was offside, but we'll talk about that one for another day. Decided to prolapse on the pitch and allow two penalties in the second half. One was converted, and then in, as Johnny would say, typical Bochum fashion, they would concede in added time and conclude what was a very unusual Monday night fixture that was probably more fitting for Halloween than Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. When you're 3-1 up and you save a penalty, you're like, happy days. Here we go, 3 points. Moving on up in the world, we're going to make that, you know, push to get into third, maybe get into the top two. But no, Bochum did what Bochum do best and were so very Bochum in that game. But, I mean, there's positives to take from it. We scored 3 goals. Lee got 3 assists, including one, which is the most magnificent piece of taking advantage of being smarter than everyone else and stepping in front of that kick out from Pentke. But I don't know, it really, really annoys me. And do you know what, I was actually quite calm after the game, but now I'm thinking of it, it's just making me more and more annoyed. But we carry on anyway. Eva, Jan have been pretty decent this season. You're one of the few sides that actually managed to get the better of them in that 5-3 classic. Could you see it that day that they were, you know, set up for bigger and better things? Obviously, it's no shame to lose to Armenia at the Alm. It's a very difficult place to go. But this Jan Regensburg side really seemed like they could push on this season and, you know, maybe finish fifth again.
Yeah, I think if you look how they are standing in the table, it's a bit surprising because against Armenia, they didn't play bad. Armenia was just one time the luckier team. I think it was a bit like with the DFB Pokal game against Heidenheim. They wanted to continue the good work, but couldn't manage to do it. So, yeah. I think they have a lot of goals, and they should work a bit on their defending problem as well. So I think we have a lot of teams having problems in the back. So yeah. Oh, sorry. And I mixed up Regensburg and Sandhausen. I'm sorry for that.
You're quite all right. Everyone, I think, would forgive you for that, because we've all had a pretty tough evening last night. And yeah, it's one of those things, but yeah, it's all a bit of fun. I mean, Sandhausen and Regensburg, I mean, if you switch the S and the V around, you have the same abbreviation, so you know, it's easy to get them confused, especially the way I make my notes for this, which really doesn't help anyone. We'll move on from that one and look back on Magdeburg against HSV. David Bates was sent off in this one, so he will miss the big game against Köln on Monday night, which will be music to the Köln fans' ears, especially given the fact that they just don't tend to concede when he's in the side. I think after the clean sheet against Van Wiesbaden, it is 2 goals conceded in the 10 games he's played this season, and sometimes you can put different things down to chance, but Matthew, I don't think you can underestimate his influence on the team. And that said, to be fair, Hannes Wolf organised his team very well. They got their goal, they held out, couldn't really ask for much more in what was a difficult first game as head coach.
Yeah, well, we do love ourselves some Ginger Ramos, and he showcased that, you know, he's adjusted to Zweitliga football very well, and, you know, it's been a very positive signing for Hamburg. We touch on Hannes Wolf. This is a similar situation for him. When he took over from Stuttgart, they were struggling when he, took over from Jos Luhukay, and, yeah, a relatively defensive approach. We've seen the issues they've had at the back. You know, you can't go past the 5-0 against Regensburg at home, and that's going to be the test. That they play Köln on Monday night, and without David Bates, we've seen how vulnerable Hamburg have looked, and we'll see how Wolf sets them up. But I would suggest it'll be a very defensive outlook to ensure they don't concede. And in terms of winning against Magdeburg, it was an okay performance. They did enough to get the 3 points, and it did take some magic to unlock a pretty stubborn Magdeburg defence.
It certainly did, and whether or not they can replicate that sort of performance against Köln, as you say, remains to be seen. Eva, it's been a pretty tough start to life inside the Bundesliga for Magdeburg. They've been in the majority of games that they've played and maybe not got the luck or maybe not got the breaks that they've deserved. I guess this one was pretty much as we expected.
Yeah, so especially because they, although they have great fans at home, but it's the 6th home game, they are without a win, so that I think that's really surprising, because seeing what they done in Dritte Liga, they are really good at home normally. So I don't really know what is going on with them right now, especially being one player more on the field. They could manage to win, but HSV they are pretty good, sat in the defense by Wolf, so I think in the end it's a deserved win for HSV.
I think it would be hard to disagree with that as well, and given the side did put in such a good performance, I think it's exactly what Hannes Wolf needed. And, you know, given that they went down to 10 men, things could have turned sour, and, you know, the last thing that he would have wanted, or HSV fans would have wanted, especially after the popular figure that is Christian Titz got sacked, would have been a defeat for Hannes Wolf in his first game in charge. That wasn't the case. They came out with a 1-0 win, and from that game we're going to move on to Group 3. It's time for Group 3 now, and we will begin with AWA against Armenia Bielefeld. And while we normally get Matthew to start the analysis, I think there is only one person we can come to for this one. Eva, take it away.
Yeah, so I think it was one of the most horrible games I watched this season, and that was after the Fürth game, so I thought that is not possible. But I think I saw they actually had a percentage in duel of 42%. That is the worst one this season. And I don't know, like, I think they went off with not a bad start, but then Klose got injured. So Schibler came in And Shiplock being Shiplock is not able to score one single goal for 77 minutes, which I guess says a lot about him and his qualities as a striker. Then, like, being the whole plan of Sabina seemed just to go away with Klaus being injured. And apparently when we are in away matches, the home team just has to stand in their own half or 90 minutes and come forward one single time. And it was an amazing goal by Hochscheid, but our didn't really, like, they didn't, they weren't the better team. They were just lucky to be a bit more awake in 1 second. And that's basically how the game ended. And I have no words for it. I was devastated. I was really disappointed. They promised so much after the food game. They said, okay, we're going to manage to be better. We're going to improve in the defense. And you could see it last Saturday. You could see it yesterday. It's not going well. And I feel very sorry for Clevin coming into, like, in a time like that. But I think 10 out of 20 balls from him, they just went out of the field, so that wasn't really helping at all in the end as well.
If you were to pinpoint a couple of areas for improvement, and I don't know, we've been talking for 2 hours now to record maybe half an hour, but if you were to pinpoint a few things that you would like to see improved for this weekend's game against St. Pauli, what would those be?
Can't really say. Probably scoring goals would be the first one. So
more, it's always helpful.
Yeah, but like that would be the first thing. They really need to score goals again. Although they did it against Fürth, but although I think it was only like four goals in the last five matches, or even less. So that is not really good. And yeah, that would be the first one. And then, of course, defending. They have to go back faster, what I said last week, basically. So
yeah, it's been a tough couple of days. And Matthew, I think that's pretty understandable given the high hopes that we had for Armenia coming into this season. But credit to Awa. I mean, it's maybe not the most attractive way to play football, but they got the result, and it's a big, big 3 points for them.
It is, and things are starting to look up for the East German club, and it's good for them. And you know, any win they get, especially at home, is massive. We expect them to be in that relegation dogfight, and to beat a team of Bielefeld's quality, though they haven't showcased it recently. Based on their results, is a positive. And I think Jan Hochscheid has shown his quality throughout the season for Auer, and that goal was very, very special. And if it takes a goal like that to beat you, then you've sometimes got to tip your cap, but you've got to also question why we're so offensively incapable of beating what was essentially a defensive five, because they allowed, allowed Bielefeld to come at them, and a bit of opportunistic fortune fell the host's way.
Yeah, I think when Shiplock came on instead of Owusu, as we've discussed, it was a little bit of a surprise, and not in a good way. But yeah, I think Armenia are destined for better things this season, and hopefully this weekend is where they turn things around. Moving on from that one, we head to Darmstadt. They got a big 2-0 win against Greuther Fürth. And Matthew, we can't underestimate the importance of this one, given how Darmstadt have been recently. This was huge.
Yep, I think the first thing it probably points out is the clean sheet. They hadn't kept one in 6 games, and against a team that had been firing going forward in Greuther Fürth. It's a real positive to get back to basics defensively, and you know, to beat a team that's in good form. It's something that they can build upon, and they will look to go forward. Yes, they took the goal through unbelievably fortunate circumstances, but the second goal was no mistake, and I'm sure for Serdar Dursun, he would have felt pretty chuffed about scoring against his former employers.
Yeah, and then some. I think he was having to hold back a little bit of joy, and fair play to him for not celebrating, I suppose. Eva, I guess it's what we expected from Darmstadt, really, that sort of dogged defensive performances. What were you used to seeing from them?
Yeah, I think it helped that the blackout by Burchard helped a bit to, like, yeah, support their confidence in that game. But I think the goal was a real game changer for them, and like the whole game would be a season changer for them. So now, against Fürth, managed to win against Fürth isn't that easy. We saw that in the last couple of weeks. So it's good that they, like, not won against one of their, like, the teams in their surroundings, but they managed to win against Fürth and have a clean sheet. So that is pretty decent work.
Yep, credit to them. It was just what the doctor ordered. And Sandhausen, when we speak of what the doctor ordered, couldn't hit a barn door for love nor money a few weeks ago, but now they've got 7 goals in 2 games, so everything is looking rosy there. They did have the upper hand against Paderborn, and credit to Sebastian Vassilidis, he was in superb form, 3 wonderful assists for him. But Sandhausen hit back late on through Andrew Wooten, who had a really, really good game, it must be said, and looked pretty much unplayable, actually, when they got the ball to him. Good performance from Sandhausen to pick up an away point in Paderborn. And Matthew, I think, given how crazy this game was, how topsy-turvy it was, a point's probably a fair result.
It is, and this game had almost everything. And, you know, it's amazing how a change of management has seen Sandhausen turn into this goal-scoring juggernaut. I mean, sure, it's only 2 games, but, you know, they had 4 goals prior to Uwe Kochanat taking in charge. Now, you know, he's added 7 in their first 2, and they actually look offensively capable. And what a luxury, you know, having Andrew Wooten playing, and you know, can't be understated how well Fabian Schlusner has played for Sandhausen this season, and those two look to be quite a good tandem when they're both playing together, and that's something Sandhausen can build. The main thing is they didn't drop the points, which is a positive, being that they're in the lower echelon of the table. But having said that, I think scoring the 3 goals against a team that is very difficult to beat at home is a massive positive for SVRS going forward.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I think we're starting to see Sandhausen gain that confidence and kick on to maybe where we thought they'd be. Lower to middle table is what I would have put them at before the season started, and it looks like they're heading in that direction now under Kochanat. Eva, how impressed have you been with Sandhausen since Kochanat took charge?
Yeah, really impressed. I think they managed to have to very up the lead in this one, but they fought back in the last couple of minutes. And yeah, I think that gives a lot of self-confidence for the next couple of games, especially in the league, although they didn't really manage to win on the DFB Pokal. But yeah, I think especially with scoring goals, it's a very important topic in the league this season and the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think Kochanat does really good work there.
And hopefully for Sandhausen's sake, that can continue. That's all for our Match Day 11 roundup. Now it's time to look ahead to Match Day 12. Yes, we're looking ahead to match day 12 now, and with our Group 1 games, there is really only one place that we can start. That is the big Monday night game, although we don't like Mondays. It is HSV against Ersta FC Köln. It doesn't get much bigger than this when it comes to Zweite Bundesliga games. The top two both locked on 21 points going into match day 12. Of course, that could change by the time both of them meet. Yeah, this is a big one. We can't wait for this one. Matthew, how do you see this one going?
It's going to be tough. You know, we expect Hamburg to be tight defensively, especially under Hannes Wolf. It'll be interesting to see who he selects to partner Rick van Drongelen with. Obviously, David Bates missing due to suspension. And on the Köln side of things, can they get Simon Terodde back amongst the goals, in score against Heidenheim, and you know, obviously he's going to be a major contributor to their promotion push. And yeah, it's going to be a cracking game. Hopefully, one of the English speaking channels will take it, because it's going to be, you know, a massive game, and obviously you'd suggest the team that wins is probably better equipped to go and win the league.
I think that is hard to disagree with, and given how things have gone for both these two sides this season, I think this is going to be quite close and quite tense. Eva, who do you see coming out on top?
I think Köln, because I think in the end they managed to have more control over the game, and seeing how HSV played in Wien, until they scored the third goal, you could still think that Wien could really turn this game around. So I would really give Köln the credit here a bit more.
Yeah, I think Köln are probably slight favourites for this one, especially given how good they've been away from home and how poor HSV have been at home. You can say that about both sides, I would imagine, but I think just when it comes down to it, especially with David Bates being out as well, hopefully Simon Terodde is amongst the goals on Monday evening. Another big clash features Jan Regensburg against Union Berlin, the pretenders against the side that are your tip, at least according to our listeners, the team that are going to cause HSV and Köln the most amount of trouble this season. And of course, if Union do win this one, they will go top of the table ahead of HSV against Köln. So plenty on the line. Matthew, Jan have been good away from home, not so convincing at home, but are still getting the job done. Can they somehow manage to end Union's unbeaten run?
I think they can, and you know, they've got the quality going forward, and they've showcased that they can be a tricky opponent. We know how they like to play on the counter, play at a frenetic pace, and I think Union will have to be on their guard. We know Union are a very good defensive side, and I think their just major issue is just finding another goal scorer. If your last goal scorer in the league is Rafael Gikovic, then maybe you have an issue. We'd suggest that maybe Sebastian Polter should start, and you know, if he can carry his cup form, then I would back Union. But I think this will be one of those tough tests, and it will probably end in a draw.
Eva, do you think it'll be a draw, or do you think we'll see a winner come this weekend?
Well, I think maybe Regensburg have a slight advantage of not having played the Pokal this week, and I think Union may be a bit tired, but if Union manage to keep up the good work in the defense, and maybe having Polter in the front, they could manage to win that. So I would be a bit more on the Union winning side.
It's going to be a close one, that is for sure. And I think with all three of our Group 1 games, you can make a case for either side. That is certainly the case for Fürth against Bochum, our final Group 1 fixture. And it is the Danny Johnny Derby, I suppose. That's how we can look at this one. I would so gladly wish that we come out on top, especially after Danny took the Ruhrstadion's name in vain and didn't think that it was a beautiful place. I mean, blasphemy of the highest order. But Matthew, do you think it will be Bochum smiling come Friday evening, or will Fürth manage to continue their impressive start to the season? And of course, with them playing on Friday night, this is a chance for them to go top two.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning towards a draw more than anything. I think both sides have got their strengths and weaknesses. I mean, we've seen this season that Fürth have become more competent going forward. They've obviously found goal scorers in Daniel Caseruel, and Tobias Moore has, you know, blossomed into a star. I don't think anyone would have seen that coming at the start of the season. And Bochum, well, you know, they showed some good signs in the Monday night fixture against Regensburg, but they just couldn't close it out. And, you know, that's troubling, but I think they'll be good for a point, but I don't think they'll be good enough to take all three.
I think you could be right there. I think this is going to be quite a tense game, especially given that Bochum draw. I think had they won this one, they might have been going out to try and win this one as well, which is, would have, if my maths is correct, and my maths isn't good, as Eva well knows, would have put them joint top with Köln and HSV. Wasn't meant to be on Monday night. There is the chance for them to right those wrongs here. Eva, do you think they'll do it, or are you tipping Fürth to continue their good form and go top of the table themselves?
I would go with the draw as well, I guess, because Fürth shows a lot of good qualities and striking back. And I think Bochum's first thing is to focus on their defense, so that's something like day doesn't happen again against Fürth, which is how you could see when you saw Fürth against Bielefeld could happen. So maybe that's the first thing they should focus on. We saw they have no problems and scoring goals. So maybe it's going to be a last minute win for Bochum this time. I hope so for your sake, but obviously, I would more go with the draw.
See, I don't know why everyone who comes in this podcast can't be as nice as Eva, but I mean, it's nice for someone last week to come on and praise Simon Torrada, this week to come on and say that they hope Bochum get a last minute winner. I mean, I don't know. Eva, could you explain to Matthew how to be this nice, or Matthew, is that just the Schalke fan within you holding back on what is inevitably a Bochum win? Well, we will see. Moving on, we're coming around to talk about Armenia Bielefeld, conveniently enough, as we start into Group 2. Yes, it's time to take a look at Armenia Bielefeld as they take on St. Pauli, a big, big game for so many reasons for both sides as well. And Eva, much like when we reviewed Armenia's game against Ala, I think it's only right that we come to you first for this one. I don't know, what are your expectations going into this one, apart from the hopes that the Alm are providing glue vine on Sunday?
I'm really afraid. I really have to admit, I'm afraid what is going to happen, because if they're going to lose that game, I think including the DFB Pokal, that would be the fifth game in the row they would lose. So that is not really good. I think, yeah, it's all about getting back the confidence they lost in the last, or 3-4 games. Especially in the Bochum game, for example. Yeah, I'm even happy if they go out with a draw and a clean sheet, because that would be very good for a start to at least have a clean sheet. Would be good for the new goalkeeper. And I didn't even have any hopes for that game. except having Glühwein there, so.
I mean, Glühwein tends to make everything better, so long as there's Glühwein, then everything will, at least in one sense, be okay. And I don't know, I think Armenia will take something from this game, I really do. I hope that they manage to work things better out than how I tried to put things to a friend when he was at the game last night and was talking about Armenia and whether or not Jeff Sabino will get sacked or not. And I says, I don't think it's time for that. I think the next two games will tell a tale. And I said that Armenia have to take 4 points, or no, 3 points from their next two games, but a minimum of four. So that just further backs up the fact that I can't do maths or speak properly for that matter. But anyway, moving on from my stupidity, which is a weekly occurrence on this podcast. Matthew, how do you see this one going?
I kind of give the advantage to St. Pauli, despite having the setback of a defeat to Holstein Kiel at home. I think they are well equipped to bounce back from that. I mean, you know, Velder are in a bit of a free fall at the moment, or consecutive defeats in the league, and well, five if you include the beating at against Duisburg last night. I just don't know where Bielefeld will go if they can't win on the weekend, and that's I think then it really becomes like a thing where you start panicking and you just wonder what the next move is. I think you probably wait till the international break to decide whether Jeff Sabina should stay or should be the coach or not. But if they don't take a point in the next two matches, then you'd expect a change. It's going to be a tough game. St. Pauli have got the quality, but will they have the finished product to condemn Bielefeld to another defeat?
That is the question. I don't know. I have a good feeling about Armenia for this one. I'm going to say 2-1 or 1-1. Hopefully it's 2-1 for Eva's sake, but we will have to see, and it doesn't get any easier for Eva as we now have to talk about Duisburg and Paderborn, two of her not so favourite teams, but nevertheless. Matthew, this should be quite a close one, especially given that MSV have really picked up in the last couple of weeks under Torsten Lieberknecht. Could they finally get a home win?
Oh, they could, but they face a very tough opponent in Paderborn, who have showcased that they are more than capable of finding the back of the net, home and away. Coming off a comfortable performance against Chemie Leipzig on Tuesday night, and you know they've shown how diverse they are going forward. You know, Bubakar Gear has found his touch since joining from Hanover. Bernard Tekpeti, who's a little bit of a fan favourite for me, and I think he showcased his abilities, whether he plays out wide or up front. And yeah, I think I'd probably lean towards Paderborn just a little bit, but it's definitely obvious that the three games we've seen Duisburg play, that Torsten Lindvikteks has been able to implement a system. The players understand how they should play, and they're slowly figuring it out. I think getting a clean sheet last night in a game that they didn't really deserve to have one is a positive, and it's certainly something they can take going forward.
It'll be interesting to see how they manage to carry that confidence into this one. Eva, you obviously seen them last night. Do you think they have enough to get past Paderborn?
I don't think so, because although they scored three goals, which it is quite impressive on the first side, but I think Paderborn is going to win that one because they have more confidence. They're in a better place in the table, and they have more quality than Duisburg has. So I'm sorry for Duisburg, but I don't think that the home win is there for them.
We will have to see. And from Duisburg, we head to Kiel as they take on Ingolstadt. Kiel have picked up a couple of decent results in recent weeks, notably that 2-1 win over Freiburg in the DFB Pokal. We will see if they can kick on from that one. It's a case of a couple of sides looking to carry on Pokal form into the league. Matthew, this should be, on paper at least, a fairly routine home win.
You would expect it, and if you include form, then you would, back up that Tim Valtasider in much better shape than Ingolstadt, and you know they've finally found their goal scoring through Yanni Lucasera, who's, you know, we got to remember he's only 20 years old. He's, you know, a young buck, and he's slowly showcasing why Kiel were able to get him for the fee they did. And they've shown their quality. They haven't had, you know, they didn't have Jason Lee last night. But the thing is that they've been able to find players to come in, and I think David Kinsombi's been really important alongside Alexander Muling. I think the one thing that probably would annoy the masses for Kiel is that Kingsley Schindler hasn't been able to recapture that glistening form he had last season. If he can somehow get to near where he was last season, then you would expect Kiel to continue the rise going forward. And as for Ingolstadt, I mean, they'd be happy to take a point, but, you know, how many games without a victory will it take for Ingolstadt to react, the board that is? I mean, the pressure is definitely on Alexander Nuri, and I think if he can't get a win until prior to the next international break, it's hard to see him staying.
Eva, do you think Alexander Nuri can upset the Kiel apple cart and, you know, pick up what would be three absolutely huge points for Ingolstadt in this one?
I don't think so, because Kiel has a lot of self-confidence from the last two games against Freiburg, against St. Pauli, and I'm not really seeing it happen for Ingolstadt to win that one. If they're really lucky, they will eventually manage to get 1 point, but that is like a huge maybe, I think.
I think an awful lot of people will be backing Kiel in this one. Whether or not they can deliver and live up to the favourites tag remains to be seen. Now it's time to switch over from Group 2 and into Group 3. We will kickstart Group 3 and our final three games of Match Day 12 with Heidenheim against Aue, two sides who picked up a win in their respective last games. Matthew, who's going to come out on top in this one?
Yeah, I'm back in the hosts. I mean, they've really got their mojo going, and they had another great result last night. I keep thinking of we talking Australian time. Last night against Sandhausen, they were quite dominant. Key players finding the back of the net, and Dovidan and Schnatter. And yeah, I think those two will lead it again. And I think you wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Meyer plays ultra conservative, ultra defensive, and goes full Mourinho and parks the bus and just plays on the counter. Auer's going to find it really tough. And I think, the quality going forward for Heidenheim is going to be enough to get the 3 points for the hosts.
I would be shocked if Heidenheim didn't come out on top in this one, but I would imagine that Aue will set up pretty similarly to how they played against Armenia. Eva, can you see Aue getting anything out of this one?
I don't think so. Really not. They're not that really. They're not really good and scoring goals either. And they have their both bad moments in defense as well. And Heidenheim, especially with Marc Schnatterer saying that week after week, probably they always have someone who can put a free kick into a great goal. So I'm going with Heidenheim on that one.
We're all united on this one. Whether or not we're all united on this next game remains to be seen. It is Dynamo Dresden against Sandhausen. Will Uwe Koshinat manage to keep up that goal-scoring form and thwart what has been a very good defensive organisation from Mike Valpurgis so far? Matthew, we'll come to you first. How do you see this one going?
I see Dresden winning, but I see Sandhausen being able to press that defence, keep Marcus Schuber honest. It's evident that under Koshinat they've got a real endeavour going forward. They look very dangerous. They put three past Paderborn and obviously four past Ingolstadt. This is obviously going to be a different test for Sandhausen. You know, Dresden is a tricky place to play at, and I think it'll be an interesting game. But I do back the hosts to take all 3 points here.
Of course, Sandhausen did win this fixture an unbelievable 4-0 last time round. Eva, I don't think we'll see a repeat of that this time, but are you going with Matthew and going for a home win?
Yeah, I think so too, especially with the strength that Dresden has with amazing fans in their back. I would definitely go with Dresden. They have a decent team and are maybe a bit more in the lead with confidence than Sandhausen is. So, yeah.
I'm going to sit on the fence and perch myself for a draw in that one. And last but not least for match day 12, we have Darmstadt against Magdeburg. Can Magdeburg somehow manage to start and turn their fortunes around and turn all those draws into wins? Or will Darmstadt keep up some sort of form in the league and try and pull themselves back to where we expected them to be? Matthew, is it going to be a home win?
Yeah, it will be. I think despite the result midweek for Darmstadt, they were quite good. I thought Daniel Hoyer Fernandez is in some pretty decent form for them between the sticks. And yeah, I would say that, you know, they've, based on the confidence of their winning against Fred, I think they'll be able to keep that going. And I think it'll be a mountain too high for Magdeburg to climb.
Eva, do you share that view?
Yeah, I think so too. So Darmstadt, With winning against Fürth, they are on a good way up. So I would definitely go and say this is a win for Darmstadt as well.
And we're all going for a home win in that one too. So that is your match day 12 roundup this week. We have just the one question, and it is from Steel Penguin once more at Steel Penguin 3 on Twitter. He asks, including the Pokal game, what do you think of HSV under Hannes Wolf? Yes, it's only been two games so far, but four goals scored, no goals conceded. Couldn't really ask for much better, including progression in the DFB Pokal as well. Matthew, pretty impressive as things go.
Yeah, I mean, the clean sheets are probably the key thing for Hamburg. I think under Tietz, they were quite vulnerable defensively and teams were able to pick them apart. And yeah, I think that's what you're going to get with Hannes Wolf. Is he's quite defensively minded. Take a 0-0 over a 5-3, despite what we would like to see. That's the way he is. That's how he was at Stuttgart. And that was part of the reason why he was able to help them get promotion. It wasn't because of their goals, but it was their ability to be frustrating defensively, and teams failed to break them down. And that's what you'll probably see from Hamburg with Hannes Wolf.
Eva, do you see HSV getting promoted under Hannes Wolf now?
I think it's too early to say that, because with Fürth, St. Pauli, Kiel, Union, like on the third and downgoing places in the table, they have a lot of opponents they have to face. It's better than, like, they're scoring goals. They seem to be a bit more stable in the defense, but I wouldn't say after two games, when one was against a team which is playing the third league, that they are sure to go up. We have to see how the Köln match is going. I really think so.
I think that game against Köln is going to let us know an awful lot about both sides and how they will fare for the remainder of the season. But for now, we will look ahead to the remainder of the season in the next couple of weeks as the podcast continues. But for this week, that is all we have for you. Eva, thank you very much for coming on again.
Thanks for having me again.
It has been our pleasure. And Matthew, a great job as always.
Oh, thank you very much. Good shift.
Not a problem. We will see you very, very soon then, and we'll see you at some point next week. Given our availabilities are changing all the time, we will bring you a podcast at some point, and we will let you know when we will do so on Twitter, so go and make sure to follow us over there. And until then, enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football, and goodbye.